Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we're going to get you ready for what looks like a banner day, potentially, in sports. We got two Monday night football games. We also got a Game 7 in baseball today, so a big day. All right. We're going to do today the 5 o'clock hour a little bit differently. I want to read to you guys, quite possibly, one of the funniest Reddit posts that we have ever read on this show. So tomorrow we'll have more audio from Raider Nation. But I found this Reddit post that I want to read to you guys. And Rob, if you can get the music queued up, this is the perfect way to begin the 5 o'clock hour. So if you go on reddit.com/Raiders, their Reddit page is called the Death Star. That's the nickname they have for their stadium. And there was a post that caught my attention that I want to read to you guys. Rob, if you can hit my music. The headline of this story says, Raider Nation, it's okay to take a break from watching this joke of a team. I want to read this to you because I want you to fully understand the emotional distress that ass whooping that the Chiefs put on the Raiders, the kind of damage that it's done to the psyche of Raiders fans. If you are reading this post, you are probably feeling what I'm feeling right now. I am completely broken. I'll be honest. I've watched some games this season where I felt I was on the verge of crying from the sheer incompetence and disappointment. But this game, it didn't just disappoint me. It has left me completely broken. I am mentally and emotionally drained, and I know that I'm not the only one. This isn't just, quote, being a fan anymore. Watching this team is a form of self-harm. I cannot keep pouring my time, energy, and emotional well-being into something that causes me nothing but stress. For the sake of all of our mental health, I beg you to take a long extended break from watching this team. Unfollow them on social media, enjoy your Sundays, and let your mind heal. This is where our mental health must come first. For the sake of your own well-being, you must prioritize yourself. If you're watching this team and you feel they're costing you your peace, well, then it's time to step away. I'm so broken. I might not even watch another game the rest of the season. It is not worth sacrificing my mental health for an outcome that will likely be the same. This is my plea to everyone in Raiders Nation who feels this way. Take a long, overdue break. Unplug. Find a better way to spend your Sundays and heal the emotional wounds this team is inflicting. You are not a bad fan for prioritizing your mind and mental over this franchise. Please stop letting this team torment you. this is as down bad and as much of a cry for help that I've ever heard from a fan of an opposing team. This is what you guys did to them yesterday. Are there any sharp objects in the room? You gotta call the number. You need a friend. You need a hug. You broke them. You damaged the psyche of the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, I don't know this gentleman, but I'm guessing if you're a Raiders fan, you've spent a lot of Sundays watching bad football. That's all you know. They haven't won a playoff game since the mid-2000s. They've won double-digit games two times in the last 20 years. They're not a good football team. They're not a good franchise. You should be used to wasting your Sundays. But the fact that that beatdown has now sent a young man over the edge, this is a cry for help. It really is a cry for help. He said, I'm already broken. I might not watch the rest of the season. It's October 20th. They don't stop playing football until January.
Well, they stop in Oakland before that. Or Vegas, excuse me.
They already stopped in Oakland. They might stop playing in Las Vegas, too. They about to turn that into a convention center. They ain't playing no football in there. That's what you guys did yesterday. That's a cry for help. I'm serious. I love football. I really do. I do. I love football. I love sports. I love talking about it. If sports got you doing that, you got to find a new hobby. You got to start watching reality TV with your lady. You do. You got to start watching movies. You got to start watching documentaries. You got to find an activity that gives some meaning to your life. You got to find a show on HBO Max, Hulu. It's Huluween. You got to find a scary movie. I guess he was watching a scary movie yesterday. That was Saw 11 is what we saw yesterday. And Patrick Mahomes was Jigsaw. Can we go through some of these numbers real quick? I promise you, we'll get to the hits. I don't have much written down today because just why? I mean, just what does it matter? None of it matters with what we saw yesterday. It was a complete and utter beatdown is what we saw. Some days, Rob and I really go and we meticulously, we're looking up stats and notes and I'm trying to find the unique angle. You know, I'm trying to provide a different outlook on what you guys were watching. No, we all got the same one. I don't think I've ever seen a team get dominated more than I saw the Chiefs dominate the Raiders yesterday. I really don't. Yesterday, Patrick Mahomes threw for 286 yards and three touchdowns. Geno Smith threw for 67 yards in the game. Ashton Jeanty ran for 21 yards. The Raiders carried the ball 11 times and got 25 yards rushing. The Raiders had 95 yards from scrimmage. 95 yards from scrimmage in the game. 95. Their leading receiver had 33 yards. They had three first downs. One of them was because of a defensive holding penalty by Trent McDuffie. They earned two first downs on their own accord yesterday. They got beat, pummeled, disgraced, embarrassed in every form or fashion. It is impossible to dominate another NFL team more than what the Chiefs did to the Raiders yesterday in every single area of the game. Rob, you gave me this nice little sheet here with all the notes. The Raiders didn't score. They ran 30 plays. The Chiefs had 30 first downs in the game. 30. The Raiders had three. The Chiefs had 434 total yards. The Raiders had 95 on 30 plays. That's the fewest amount of first downs ever given up in Chiefs history. They've been playing football since the 60s. You know how bad it is to be worse on offense than the 1971, whatever version of team we're talking about? They had more success offensively than you. They weren't even throwing forward passes during that point. The Raiders didn't convert a third down, didn't convert a fourth down. They should have just kicked field goals and punts on second down. Third down was a waste of everybody's time. They never got to the red zone. They only crossed midfield one time in the game. They had the ball for 17 minutes. It was a waste of everybody's time. You know what it is? It actually reminded me of something. This is what it reminded me of.
We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. The second half, we couldn't stop the run. Every time they got the ball and went down and got points, we got our totally kicked in the second half.
That's what happened. 100%. They certainly didn't do this.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
I don't know what they were doing yesterday. They certainly didn't play to win the game. The Chiefs really had mercy on them. The Chiefs didn't throw a pass in their last three possessions. The Chiefs need the ball before the two-minute warning. They waved the white flag. Hey, we're good. We won. They got turbo clocked is what happened. That's what happened. This is like when Rockhurst just plays some 2A school and they're just pummeling them so bad, they just keep the clock running the entire second half of the game. Hey, wrap this up, man. Hey, speed this up, man. We got a homecoming dance to go to afterwards. Like, come on now. Come on. That's what happened to the Raiders yesterday. That was like watching Alabama play Samford for the first 30 minutes of the game. Completely outclassed. Out everything. More physical, better prepared, better coached, more explosive, and ass whooping of the highest degree is what we saw yesterday in the game. The thing that you should be most confident in, man, that offense yesterday was humming. It really was. It was humming yesterday. Rob, you know what? I'm not even going to mention the fact that Breshad Smith had 14 carries for less than 40 yards. It's not even worth bringing up. It's just the fact that everything they wanted to do worked yesterday. Breshad Smith maybe didn't have a great day running the ball, but he had 42 yards receiving. Travis Kelce had 50 yards. Rashee Rice had 40 yards and two touchdowns. Tyquan Thornton had one catch for 40 yards. Juju had 30 yards. Xavier Worthy had it. I mean, Chris Jones played 23 snaps in the game. It's like a preseason game. It honestly was. I bet you if we go back there, Rob, we can find a preseason game where Chris Jones played more snaps than he did yesterday. We could definitely find out if there was a game that he played more snaps than he played yesterday. That's how they treat it. It was like a preseason game. We're just trying stuff. Mahomes is acting. He's laughing and joking in the post-game press conference. We're getting in weird formations. We're doing whatever. We don't respect you. We think you're a bad football team. We want to show everybody that we think you're a bad football team. And we're going to go out and execute that to the highest of our abilities. I'm serious. It is impossible for one team to beat another team worse than the Chiefs beat the Raiders yesterday. It was a demolishing what we saw them do.
Earlier on the show, Mitch Holtz was talking about this, and you can catch on the podcast page. He said that Coach Reed was kneeling before the two-minute warning to be respectful. He likes Pete Carroll. He wasn't going to show him up any further. I get what Mitch is saying, and I understand the thought process. I would tell you there is not a more disrespectful, we've dominated you moment in pro football than with 2:38 on the clock, we're kneeling now. We don't care that the clock's going to stop in 2 minutes. We don't care that we can't probably run it down to zero because we're going to have to punt because the numbers aren't on our side. We don't care. That is as close to an Excel clock moment in men as we've seen in real life. And I said this earlier. First off, credit to the Chiefs. Offense looked great. Defense looked great. They did everything well. But That was a glorified scrimmage. That the Raiders were a turtle on its back. It was just helpless. They were stuck there. They couldn't do nothing. It was honestly, the third preseason game against the Bears was more competitive than yesterday, and that was a game that featured Chris Oladokun. So like, it good for the Chiefs, but I walked away being like, man, that is as bad of an NFL team as I've seen, and I watched the Jets at one point this year.
You're right. You know what I want to look up? I'm going to look up what the Chiefs did in that week 18 game or the week 17 game last year. You remember the one where the Chiefs just got completely throttled when the Chiefs just basically didn't try? I bet they did better offensively. I mean, Carson Wentz in that game threw for 98 yards. The Chiefs put on a better performance with their backups against the Broncos than the Raiders just did. Carson Wentz threw for 98 yards, and they also ran the ball for more yards. They got more first downs, too, in that matchup. The Raiders didn't perform better than the Chiefs' B squad in their final game of the season. The Chiefs, that day, they got 5 first downs. Chiefs were out there moving the ball, and they had more total yards and ran more plays and had more time of possession than them. That's basically what we saw. We saw the Chiefs backup team from the last game of the season when the Chiefs just quit on the season. That's who the Raiders put out there yesterday against the Kansas City Chiefs. It was a horse blank performance. That's what it was. It was a horse blank performance. Hit the button, Rob.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home. And now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Characters always hits are brought to you by Baker University. Make your next era orange at Baker University, the first university in Kansas and ranked number one in return on investment among private universities in the state. Baker University, forever in our orange era.
I know this. The Raiders would have had a better time at whatever festival that was going on around the city. They'd have had a more fun and enjoyable Sunday than being at Arrowhead. They should have just participated in the tailgate. I'm sure that was a good time. Great time out there. Hey, man, go and throw this steak on the grill for me.
I don't think that's Jimmy Johnson. Pete Carroll should be like, no one gets to eat on the way home.
That's what, yeah, you can't eat, can't watch TV, you can't even sleep.
What random player should he cut to be Jimmy Johnson? Hey, you, don't get on the plane. Stay here.
He needs to cut Gino. He's terrible. He's fixing matches. That's what he's doing. What's hit number one? Shout out to Baker University. What's hit number one?
Carrington, let's talk about the rest of the AFC West, because now the Chiefs are right back into the race as the Chargers took a bad home. I don't know if it's a bad home loss. They took a home loss to the Colts, which is par for the course of the Chargers. They are
definitely
battling.
Not a bad loss. They just don't ever win that game.
They never win. It's not bad. It's just a game they've never, not ever sure. won in the history of the Chargers. And up until around 6 o'clock real time, they felt like the Chiefs were going to be in the driver's seat because the Broncos are going to lose, albeit they came back. Carrington looked like a two-horse race in the AFC considering the Chiefs' 0-2 start. They are right back in the thick of the division hunt.
All right, I remember what we were going to do earlier, and I got distracted because we were talking about tortillas, so I apologize. All right, this is what we're going to do. Fade the music down. So here it is right now in the AFC West, if you were curious, if you were somebody that likes to wager on these kind of things. The Chiefs right now are minus 125. The Broncos are plus 230s. The Los Angeles Chargers are plus 360. The Raiders are getting ready for the NFL draft. That's the odds that they have right now on FanDuel.
Is that what it says? Draft.
That's what it says. Draft. N-A. That's what it says. Draft. That's what it says for them. So this is also very important if you were looking at who could potentially get the one seed. So right now, the Colts are the favorite at plus 210. The Bills are second at plus 260. The Chiefs right now are at plus 390, basically 4-1 odds to be the one seed in the AFC. I think there are a couple of things that need to be discussed. Now, I know you guys always try to heckle me when it comes to this on the text line. I'm not picking the Broncos to win the division, but we do have to acknowledge that this Broncos team, they look like a team that could win somewhere between 10 to 12 games this season. They have 3 games left before they have a home game against Kansas City, which is probably the biggest home game that they've had since they won the Super Bowl. They have a home game against Dallas this week. That's going to be a really fun 325 game. On the road against Houston. Who knows what Houston is? A home game against Las Vegas. Let's see who's healthy whenever they play that game against Las Vegas. They play the Chiefs coming up on November 16th, so less than a month from now. If you're looking at the Broncos, I think they're a team that we at least have to keep in the back of our mind. It's going to be an interesting final couple of months and a real fight and a race in the AFC West. That's a good team, a really, really good team. I'll give you a stat. The Chiefs this season, they have allowed 124 points. The Broncos have allowed 127 points. So the defenses are very comparable. The Chiefs' offense has been better than the Broncos' offense so far this season. I also think the Broncos have been a little bit fortunate on both sides. They probably should have lost yesterday, and they probably should have won the loss of the game against the Chargers earlier or the game against the Colts. So maybe things have just evened out for them a little bit. Now, on that same vein, talking about the Indianapolis Colts, I think we got to start talking about the Colts as a team that could possibly be the one seed in the AFC. Right now, they are the favorite in the AFC. They don't really have a dangerous portion of their schedule. Maybe you would think that their dangerous portion is at Jacksonville, at Seattle, home against San Francisco. Maybe that's the stretch that you would say. But right now, we're talking about a Colts team that has scored the most points of any team in the National Football League. Their defense has been pretty capable so far this season. I think that Jonathan Taylor has been the offensive player of the year and should be in consideration for the MVP award with the way that he's played so far this season and being the center of the best offense so far in the National Football League. I mean, their schedule, I'm looking at it. I mean, their next three games before they play Kansas City, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, and Atlanta. Now, Rob, this is one thing that we've talked about for the last couple of weeks. Everything is still right there on board for the Chiefs. They still have their two games against the Broncos. They still got their game against the Chargers. They still play Buffalo. They still play Indianapolis. So all of the teams that are in the conversation to either win your division and or win the AFC, you got a chance to go get the tiebreaker from them, and you got a chance to play them head-to-head. So the one seed is still obviously very much in play, and the division is still obviously very much in play when talking about this team. But I do feel like yesterday, sort of the theme of everything is, hey, the Kings stay the king in the AFC. The Chiefs have the most well-rounded and complete offense of any team in the AFC, and they might have the best defense of any team in the AFC. And then in the NFC, when you're looking at it, the Eagles look like they were back to me. I feel like we all kind of overreacted to a small stumble by the Philadelphia Eagles. They had a bye week. They came back. Jalen Hurts throws for three touchdown passes. Devontae Smith gets back into the offense. A.J. Brown gets back into the offense. And the Eagles look like they're once again in the conversation for the best team in the NFC. So we've known this. If you're going to beat Kansas City, you got to knock them out. If you're going to beat Philadelphia, you got to knock them out. And you're not knocking them out in October or November. You're going to have to do that late in the season. The Chiefs are going to be a team that's going to be very viable at the end of the season. Philadelphia is also going to be a team that you're going to have to face once the weather gets cold.
I feel like, and I was probably me, was the person that a few weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago on the show, we did the I don't know versus good versus bad category. And I had a bunch of teams in the I don't know category. I had the Chiefs in the I don't know category. This is before the Lions game. I feel like now there are more teams that I would put in the good category, and I feel like that good category is also starting to separate. The Eagles have pushed back into the good category. The Colts are now in the good category. They are a good team. The Bills, I think, remain in the good category, albeit they might be the shakiest in the category. The Chiefs are now in very much firmly in the good category. Like, we are seeing, and this is usually the time of year we start to see it, I think every year in the NFL we kind of fall for it early in the year. Like, oh man, the Week 4 Super Bowl. The Super Bowl isn't played in Week 4. We're about halfway through the season. It's Week 8, Week 9-ish. We're at that halfway-ish point. And you are starting to see the cream rise to the top, and you're starting to see the bad float to the bottom. And the Chiefs and the Eagles this week went out and reestablished, over the last 2 weeks of the Chiefs, we're part of the top. We're not part of this mix in the middle. We're not part of this, I think we're good, but we don't really know grouping that hangs out with people like the Patriots. Nope. We're better than them, and we're going to show the world we're better than them. And you said earlier, they kind of played with their food yesterday, and even while doing that, they beat the Raiders 31-0 on the heels of a really impressive Lions win. The Chiefs are firmly, if you didn't believe it before, are firmly back, and now are welcoming themselves into that Super Bowl conversation yet again.
Coming up on the other side, we are going to head to Seattle, Washington. Seattle feels like they're the epicenter of sports today. They are hosting Monday Night Football against the Texans. They also have Game 7 in Toronto against the Blue Jays. A really exciting night in sports. We'll get to it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I'm going to play for you this Mike Salk here coming up in just a bit. Can we talk about this? We haven't talked about this yet today, and that's my fault. I want to play this audio for you because of all the things that I'm going to remember from this game, this is going to be number one on the list. Jim Nance was trying to be hip. There was a portion in the broadcast in which he was trying to be hip. Let me play it for you.
Look at the numbers, including 8 touchies. Or tutties, as you call it, and 1 interception.
Let's do that. Was fantastic. Touchies, tutties.
Whatever it is.
Well,
a lot.
No one has ever called him touchies, ever. Touchies feels kind of inappropriate. Hey, man, I got 2 touchies today. Bro, what's going on? Hey, what's that one meme where he's like, how do you do, fellow kids? That's what Jim Nance sounded like when he was trying to speak in the youth vernacular.
Look at the numbers, including 8 touchies.
8 touchies. I was in the house dying laughing when I heard this. I had to find things to entertain myself with that game. The Raiders weren't entertaining me. And Jim Nance calling them touchies, it entertained me. It definitely had me laughing. I was in the home giggling, as you would say. I want to play this for you. Seattle has, I mean, one of the biggest sports days that I can remember for a city. They are hosting Monday Night Football today against the Texans. They are also on the road for Game 7 against the Toronto Blue Jays. So we're talking about the Multiview is going to be getting a workout today in one of the most beautiful cities in America. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Mike Salk. We asked him, how crazy is tonight going to be with everything going on in the sports calendar?
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. I would say this is the best sports day in the history of the city. I've been here for 17 years. I guess I can't speak to maybe there was a time in the 90s with the Sonics and Mariners, but the Mariners, yeah, maybe, and the Seahawks really weren't that good yet. So I think this is probably it. I mean, the only thing missing would be if the Game 7 was here. We had 2 games a couple of weeks ago with the Seahawks and Mariners both playing. But, yeah, I mean, this is out of control. I mean, I don't know that there's ever been a day where the Seahawks were playing at night and we barely had a chance to talk about them during the show because, as you know, and you were there for the whole Kansas City Royals run to the World Series a few years ago, when a baseball playoff run takes over your town, there is nothing like it. Nothing beats it.
Yeah, it's just a completely different energy that I think it's hard for people to understand that, you know, if you're a Yankees fan or a Red Sox fan, it's just different when you come from cities like I live in and the one that you live in where your team hasn't had that consistent success and you just realize that you are in the middle of something truly special. How have you seen the city, how have you seen the community really gravitate towards this Mariners season that is just having one of those seasons that you're going to talk about for the next 20, 25 years?
Yeah, it's so funny, and honestly, this is a town that has had a lot of frustration in baseball. It's the only team to have never made the World Series, and the last couple of years have been disappointing as they've fallen just short over and over again. Frustration with ownership, frustration with Jerry DePoto and management, and I don't know that anyone was expecting as much from this team this year. Their off season was largely viewed as disappointing, and they came into the year and just completely defied all of those expectations, exceeded all of them. And look, the story is Cal Raleigh, and he's the biggest reason they are here. He went from being a consistent 30 to 35 home run guy who was a good leader and a good catcher, maybe even a great catcher, and turned himself into one of the elite hitters in baseball, hitting 60 home runs. And that took a lot of pressure off Julio Rodriguez and allowed him to really be the player he can be in the second half. And then everything just kind of trickles down from there. You get good enough to be able to trade at the deadline. Josh Naylor, if people haven't watched Josh Naylor play baseball, they should. He is a joy to watch play, even if he doesn't always look like he's having a good time. He's a grumpy dude. At least that's the look he gives. But he is a lot of fun to watch. And then, everything just kind of falls from there. So, yeah, I think there's been a good connection to this team, and it starts with Cal and just that connection to not just the nickname, the Big Dumper, but his selfless servant leadership and his ability to, you know, not get too high or too low, connect with the people, maintain being just a real person. Look, I mean, people are seeing Cal at the grocery store the day, you know, a day off in between games. He is kind of a normal dude, a salt-of-the-earth dude, who just happens to be really, really good at playing baseball.
Right now, we're joined by Mike Salk of Seattle Sports. They're having a banner day. They are hosting Monday Night Football today, and they also are on the road for the American League Championship Series against Toronto. Mike, usually in the NBA, I think the tie has to go to the home team. Home teams have such an overwhelming advantage in the NBA playoffs when it comes to a deciding game. That's not the case in baseball. The home team is just 71-67 in these kind of scenarios, and Seattle has already shown that they can go into Toronto and win. You got to feel really good about their chances in a matchup like this today.
Yeah, it's so funny. The home field advantage, and we were just talking about that on the show. You know, the road team has won 4 of the 6 games in the series so far. You know, both are good, loud environments, but if the starting pitcher pitches well on the road, that can kind of take the crowd out. And in a few of these games, there hasn't really been the opportunity for those late game, you know, crucial moment, close game type of situations where the crowd can start to speed up a player, especially a reliever, and kind of get in their head. We haven't seen that. Maybe we will tonight. Maybe we will see extra innings or something that comes down to the last inning of the game. Obviously, that favors the home team as well. But short of that, yeah, I think this is much more about who pitches better tonight. George Kirby was not very good in his first start in this series. He was great a week ago in Game 5 against Detroit. You got to see that, you know, version of George and not the one that we saw against Toronto a couple of days ago. And I would imagine for both of these two teams, I don't even know how many bullpen guys you're going to see. I would think that Toronto is going to have Scherzer and the rest of their Gossman ready to come in out of the pen. And the Mariners should have Brian Wu and Bryce Miller and Luis Castillo and all their starters ready. So Game 7s are different, especially when you don't have to play again until next Friday. If you win, you can really throw everything but the kitchen sink at them.
Right now, we're joined by Mike Salk of Seattle Sports. A big day in Seattle. They are hosting Monday Night Football. They're also going on the road for Game 7 of the American League Championship Series. Let's transition over to football. Let's talk about the Seahawks. I kind of feel like they're the forgotten team right now in the NFC. There's just so many good teams. It feels so bunched up right now. It feels like every division has a team that you think can win the Super Bowl. There might be 3 of those teams in the NFC West. What is it like to follow this Seattle team that isn't getting the talk that Detroit does or Green Bay, but might be as good as all of those teams?
Well, I mean, that's nothing new. Obviously, you know, a little corner of the country up here that the rest of the media does not pay a ton of attention to. It was interesting looking at power rankings this week. I don't know how much faith to put in those, but I saw the Seahawks everywhere from literally 3rd behind the, I think it was Bucks and Lions, to I want to say 14th or so. From one of the Fox writers. I mean, like, opinions vary widely on what kind of a team they are. I think they're a good team. I don't know if they've shown yet that they're a great team or anything close to it, but Sam Darnold has played really good football to the point where Daniel Jeremiah told us last week that we have to stop putting a but at the end of Sam Darnold's name. Like, he's good, but, and I'm almost there with him. I mean, he's played really well now for 2 years in a row. The one thing we haven't quite seen, and it's a huge deal to me, and obviously you've seen it in Kansas City, is you got to be able to win those games in the final minute or two when you get the ball tied or maybe even down and your team needs a field goal or a touchdown to win. Those drives are everything, and he's 1-2 with two turnovers in those drives. So, you know, the positive side of that, this team could legitimately be 6-0. The other side of it is they need their quarterback, who's been unbelievably good through the first 58 minutes of every game this year, to be as good in that final minute or two.
A really big night for Seattle. They are hosting Monday Night Football. They also have a Game 7 today against Toronto. I looked this up today because I was curious. The home team in deciding games, win-or-go-home scenarios in the baseball playoffs are just 71-67. So this is virtually a coin flip between two very evenly matched teams, and the winner goes on to play the Dodgers in the World Series. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at how I met your mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
This.
I don't know how Netflix does it, but Netflix always has the flavor of the month documentary. Rob, have you watched the new one? The new Netflix documentary is The Perfect Neighbor. Have you watched this, The Perfect Neighbor, Rob? Have you seen this?
No, but it is on my watch list.
Okay, I just watched it yesterday.
We have a list going home.
Yeah I watched it yesterday. And it's definitely worth your time. You know, Netflix stayed with a crime doc once a month that you got to watch. This is a good one. I'm giving you, this gets my seal of approval, the Carrington seal, 913-586-7965. It's called The Perfect Neighbor. It's on Netflix. I didn't know the backstory. Maybe you guys knew the backstory of it. I had no clue. I just saw it, and it was, you know how Netflix, they make you think, you got to watch this one. It's number one. It's won all these awards. You got to watch it. And I was like, all right, let me check it out. I was like, oh, okay, all right. Ended up being good. I ain't going to lie to you. Before we get out of here, I want to, I guess, share a couple of thoughts with you guys. The first thought I have is there might not be a better feeling in all of fandom than when your favorite college football team goes on the road and picks up a really tough conference road win. It's just, there might not be a better feeling. I was so fired up on Saturday while I was watching that Missouri-Auburn game. There were so many opportunities for things to go left for Mizzou. Really so many opportunities. They couldn't run the football really at any point in the game. They missed multiple opportunities. They had first and 10 from the 30-yard line with a chance to win the game. They then took a sack. It got them out of field goal range. In overtime, Auburn misses a kick in the first overtime. All Missouri needs to do is score in the second or in their first overtime. They then miss a field goal. They missed a two-point conversion in the second overtime. I mean, they left a lot of money on the table, but it was a total complete team win. Bo Prabula, where I just think at this point, Missouri fans will just never be happy with who their quarterback is. They've been unhappy with the last five quarterbacks that they've had. I thought Bo played pretty well. Bo does some things that frustrates me. Don't get me wrong. He throws that interception he threw in the second quarter. He throws the interception every game. It's literally every game. He does one of those kind of plays. You can't do that on the road against Vanderbilt, but he just makes one of those plays. But I think he's a very tough runner. You can see the athleticism. I think he's a better passer than people have given him credit for. They don't win that game without Bo Prabula. They don't win that game. I thought his toughness was a major, major difference in the game. Their defense, they got true guys that can get after the quarterback. It was one of those things. I'm the house. I'm pacing. I'm fired up after a good road win on the road at Auburn. Fantastic. Now, it sounds crazy to say this, but, I mean, it's true. The winner between Vanderbilt and Missouri, they control their destiny when it comes to the college football playoff. They really do. Vanderbilt is one of the best teams in college football, which sounds crazy to say, but that is where we are. They have a legitimate Heisman candidate. I don't think he's the favorite. He should certainly be in the conversation. Like, everything that the Heisman Trophy is supposed to embody, Diego Pavia embodies that. And they have the wins that they are starting to rack up, and I think Vanderbilt's got a shot to make the playoff. I think Missouri's got a shot to make the playoff. This feels like an elimination game for one of those two teams. They both have one loss. That loss comes to Alabama. You got to find a way to beat the other team. So we'll see if Missouri can do it. We're also really excited for this week. We got Kansas. We got Kansas State. This is the biggest Sunflower Showdown, it feels like, in a very, very long time. KU, if you can't win this one at home, this is a down K-State team. If you don't find a way to win this one, man, I don't know if you'll ever beat K-State again. I'm serious. I don't know if you'll ever win. You got to figure out. Oh, you got to get this one, Rob. You know you got to get this one.
I had the same sentiment. I was talking to some friends, and they're like, is it this the year? And I'm like, if it's not, it's just never happening. If it's not, just what conference wants Kansas? Because they got to get away from K-State football, because that team will just dominate them. But K-State looked better than KU last time both teams played. So it's 11 a.m. It's going to move to 17. It's going to break my heart.
When's the last time KU was favored in that matchup between those two teams? They're favored for this one, right? They're like 2.5-point favorites.
It must have been the first or second year of this streak when Mangino was still at KU, so 15 years ago.
I ain't going to lie. Watching them leave your stadium.
The new stadium.
With too, the win. Oh, my goodness. Hurt. It's going to break your heart.
And there's going to be a lot of K-State fans there, too.
Oh, for sure. They might come take over your building.
I don't know if it's going to be that many K-State fans. It's not Nebraska in 97.
They travel. That's all I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you that they travel.
They do
that's
travel.
All I'm going to say is that they travel.
And that's an easy – by the way, I've been to some KU games where it was a road game in Memorial State.
That's fair. Because I'm saying is
– this is going to feel more neutral probably.
I've seen K-State come to Faurot Field, and I've seen KU come to Faurot Field, and K-State brought way more people than I saw KU bring. KU, y'all just had a little sliver. K-State had a real contingent make that trip. So there's gonna be a lot more K-State fans than even you think are showing up for this one.
You're right. I've just been to KU K-State games before, where by the end of the first quarter, KU it might as well be Bill Snyder Family Stadium. It's purple. There's no one there.
I can't wait. What time they play? 11?
11 a.m. TNT.
11 a.m. Where?
Yeah, it's on Big 12. Does some weird
what
stuff.
What kind
man.
Of contract, oh God?
So it's on HBO Max if you want to watch it there.
What kind of contract do y'all have? Hey, we had a lot of fun today. I appreciate y'all. We'll catch y'all tomorrow. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.